together, when we gather together in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's good when we gather together in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The forces of darkness would like for us to be separated, but that's not God's way.
Amen.
Listen to what Jesus said. How many of you know Jesus had the last word on any subject? Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. That's what he said, isn't it? Now, Jesus said that. Wherever two or three. Now, he didn't limit it to two or three, but he's letting you know that doesn't matter how small the gathering or how large. If you're gathered in my name, he says, I'm right there. I'm right there. Aren't you glad he's here tonight?
Amen.
Let's acknowledge his presence by just giving him some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Just let him know that you know that he's here and you are acknowledging his presence right now. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We have gathered together in his name, and he is here in our midst. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 I welcome each and every one of you. I welcome those of you that are viewing the live stream with us tonight, whether you are viewing live or whether you are viewing later, we welcome you. Glad you're watching. Amen. Praise God. Well, are you ready for the Word of God? I got a few things I want to share with you this evening. I'm going to share what I have with you this evening. And when I'm done, I'm done. Amen. Glory. I want to pick it up again where we left off, excuse me, last Wednesday night. And my subject being, well, the subject has been ask God. But more specifically, the last two or three meetings we've had, we've been specific in asking God for wisdom. You know, we can ask God for anything if it lines up with his word. Am I right? Am I right?
Amen.
If it lines up with his word, and his word is his will. So if it lines up with his word, we can ask God for it. Amen. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we have the petitions that we are acquiring from him. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being here with us. Thank you for being in our presence. Thank you, Father God, for being in our hearts. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for descending into this sinful world and redeeming us from the powers of darkness. Thank you for all that you've done, all that you had to go through, all that you had to endure so that we could be saved. We thank you for that. And now, Father, as I minister your word, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear and a heart to receive your word. Speak through my mouth, think through my mind, use me for your glory here tonight. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. All right. Let's go back to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter of Proverbs. And I want to read to you again the seventh verse of the fourth chapter of Proverbs. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. I want to read that again. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. Now, I would like for you to put the New Living Translation of Proverbs 4:7 on the screen for me. I like this. It says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. You see that? Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. And so this evening, I want to share with you for a few minutes on asking for wisdom to carry out an assignment. All of us have an assignment. In other words, what I mean by that, all of us have purpose. You still here? The Bible tells us that before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. In other words, God knew we were going to be here. And he knew that we were going to need a Savior. But he knew we were going to be here. But why? I mean, think about it for a moment. You were on God's heart. We, because I'm included in this too. We were on God's heart long before there was ever an earth. You being here this evening, and you too, those of you that are viewing, you are here because of God's plan. Now, some people say, well, Pastor, you don't understand, man. I got here as a result of some bad circumstances. Well, let me tell you something. It's God that gives the breath of life. Amen. Amen. Can I share this with y'all? I believe, okay, how many of you know that this body is our house? This is our earthly house. Amen. And all of us have, you know, different size houses, different color houses, you know. But we're all houses. This house here houses my spirit. Because we're spirit beings. You know that, right? We're created in God's image and God's likeness. So we're spiritual beings. I do not believe that anybody that's on this earth is here by accident. Now, we know that there are natural things. If certain things happen, you get natural results. Right? Or do I have to spell it out? Y'all follow me? You there? Okay. I mean, that's just the way it is. But now let's say, for example, if somebody was born as a result of rape, that still don't make that right. That's not right. But there's a natural course of things. But here's the thing. We are spiritual beings. We are created in God's likeness. And if we are here, we are here because God planned us to be here long before the foundation of the earth. Now, if a person is here, stay with me. If a person is here under difficult circumstances, I don't see how I want to word this. I want to make sure I get this right. You're here because certain things took place that got you here. God honored that when a male and female come together, reproduce, that's a person. But you know, it could have been done the right way. In other words, I believe in my heart that God's plan for you to be here, God had planned for you to be here before the earth was even formed, and so you were going to be here, but it didn't have to be under those circumstances. I hope I'm making sense. I don't want to confuse you. Because you have to understand what I'm saying now. You have to see this from the spiritual side. We are spiritual beings. Now, if everything had gone the way it should have gone, you may have been in a whole different house. Are y'all following me? I'm not crazy now. You could have been a whole different nationality. It's possible. My point is, God has a plan. What I'm trying to say is, God has a plan for your life. And it didn't start when you were conceived. God knew who you were. And God had a plan to spend all eternity with you and me. God had a plan to use us while we are here in this earth. Now, you still with me, or have I confused you? I'm not trying to get deep. Actually, I'm trying to make it simple. What I'm saying is, we have to understand, we're people of purpose. Now, once we get here, we make our own decisions as to whether we're going to please God, whether we're going to carry out God's will for our lives or not. because God doesn't have any robots. We make our own decisions. We choose to obey God or we choose to disobey God. But God loves me and God loves you. And he has a plan for your life. But some people wonder, man, I've had a hard life. You know, I grew up in this family. I grew up in that family. Well, let me tell you something. God's got a plan for you. God's got an answer for you. My sister can tell you, we were so poor, we couldn't pay attention. But then we found Jesus. We had some issues in our families. Our family was, you know, I'm not going into my family, but things weren't real good in our family. The odds were stacked against us. Am I right? If you would have seen us, you thought, nope, they're not going anywhere. They're not going to ever amount to anything. And sometimes people treat you like you're not going to amount to anything, especially when they know you're poor and you don't have anything or have very little. Some of you in this sanctuary are familiar with my history. You know what I'm talking about. But, everybody say but. But I found Jesus. Let me flip that around. He found me. Little fella living in a little small house way out in the country. You know where it is? Called Memory Lane. It wasn't called that when we stayed there. They named it after we left, I think. Way out in the country. Home by myself. And I guess to keep us from grumbling and complaining so much, my daddy bought us a used black and white television. And so I'd heard folks in school talk about their favorite TV shows. We didn't have a TV, so I had to listen to other folks talk about their favorite TV shows. And so they talked about their favorite TV shows. And finally, once we got a television, a used one, I had an opportunity to develop some favorites of my own. Now, let me say this. I was home by myself one evening, getting ready to watch my favorite TV show. My favorite TV show didn't come on. Fellow by the name of Billy Graham interrupted my program. I was upset at him. I was upset at him because I wanted to watch my program. But I sat there one solid hour and watched him. The more I watched him, the more I was convicted. The more I realized I needed Jesus. He had my attention. I forgot about my show. When he went off the air, he told us how to get saved. You folks watch this program, I'm sure. He told us how to get saved. I watched him. When he went off the air, I went into my bedroom because I was home by myself. I went into my bedroom, got on, down on my knees, and invited this Jesus Christ that Billy was talking about. I met him for myself. And he saved me. I invited him into my heart. He saved me, and I knew I was saved. You hear me? I knew I was saved. Why? Because he found me. He found me. Glory be to God. And he knew about me before this earth was ever formed. Amen. So what am I saying? And you know, I really believe somebody need to hear this. Maybe if not in the sanctuary, but maybe somebody that's viewing, because you feel useless, helpless, unappreciated. I'm here to tell you that there is someone that loves you and appreciates you, and he wants to take your life and make something out of it. Yes, he does. I said, yes, he does. Amen. So there's nobody useless. God can change your life. You may be eating out of trash cans, living in a tent city somewhere, but God knows where you are. And he'll change your life. All you have to do is surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I give you me. I give you all of me. I make you my Lord. Amen. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Anyone that's crying out to you, they don't like where they are. Their life is miserable. They felt hopeless, but now they're crying out to you. And I thank you, Father God, for answering their prayers. I thank you, Father God, for coming into their life, forgiving them of their sins, washing them clean by your blood. And Father, I pray that you would send someone cross their path, open that door, that they can meet someone that can speak their language, can communicate with them. Take them by the hand and lead them forward and teach them, or lead them to someone who can. Lead them to a good church, godly people, people that love God, sold out to God, that can help them, love them, appreciate them. I thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I want to make it clear. I'm not condoning sin, rape, or anything else, but it has happened, and there have been babies born as a result. God loves them, too. He loves them too. And he has a plan for their life. Amen. Wow. Wow. Where's the time gone? All right. I'm going to try to be brief. And I got over on that because we need to pray for wisdom to carry out God's assignment for our life, the purpose that he has for us. And I want to talk to you about Solomon. So why don't you turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings, the third chapter. 1 Kings, the third chapter. I'm so glad to know that regardless of your circumstances, God still loves you.
Yeah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Wisdom to carry out your God-given assignment. We need to ask God for wisdom every day. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading at verse 5, and just kind of read along with me. It says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? Wow. Now, I want you to grab a hold of that before I go any further. God told Solomon in a dream, ask me. What can I do for you, Solomon? What can I give you? Now, I want you to imagine God asking you that same question. Mildred, what can I do for you, dear? Ronnie, what can I do for you? Daryl, what can I do for you? He asked Solomon, ask, what shall I give you? What do you want, Solomon? What do you need? Verse 6, and Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, everybody say, O Lord, my God.
O Lord, my God.
Hallelujah. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Now, he wasn't physically a little child, okay? Keep that verse up there on the screen for me. He was not physically a little child. But here's what we have to understand, and I want you to grab a hold to this. We have to recognize our limits. In other words, Solomon is saying, listen, I'm like a little child. I don't even know what to do. You know, I'm king over all these folks. I am to lead these people. Listen, let me read it to you again. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to come out, how to go out or come in. Anybody ever been there? I remember when the Lord told us to build this church. I didn't have any money, or very little. I couldn't do it. But But you know what? I didn't know what to do, but I did know God. And so he says, oh, Lord, my God. He says, I'm like a little child. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to go out or come in. Let's read on. Verse 8, and your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. Verse 9. Therefore, give to your servant what? A what? Give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. In other words, Solomon was asking God for wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. And remember, I've mentioned it a number of times, when Paul would pray for the church, that's what he would pray for us. Father, give them the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of you. Solomon says, in the natural, in my own self, I don't know what to do. But if you will give me the wisdom and understanding I need, I can do anything and everything that you call me to do. Because now I'm not operating in my own wisdom. I'm operating in supernatural wisdom that comes from you. Are you still here? Hallelujah. Now, let me read on just a little further. Verse 10. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now, listen to me a minute. I want you to understand something. God wants all of his people to be successful. He wants all of his people. God is pleased when we have success. He's pleased. Hold your place right there in the book of Kings. Flip back to the book of Joshua. First chapter. Remember, Joshua was in a similar situation. Moses had died, and now Joshua had the responsibility of leading God's people into the promised land. Are you still here? Now listen, let's look at verse 8. This is what Joshua was told. Listen. See, God gave him his assignment, and God wanted him to be successful. God didn't want him to be a failure. God didn't want Solomon to be a failure. God does not want you to be a failure. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Now for us today, what's the book of the law? God's word. God's word. Amen? This is God's word. We are to meditate on God's word, keep God's word in our hearts, not just in our head, get it down into our hearts. Meditate on it day and night. Listen to what it says. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Right? Doing God's word. For then, everybody say, for then. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success. Hallelujah. Listen. Listen. When we stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you want him to say to you? Okay, say it like you mean it. You want to hear him say what?
Well done,
thy good and faithful servant. What Jesus will be telling you is, you was a success. Good job. Well done. We understand in this earth, we all have different responsibilities. Not everybody is a pastor. Not everybody is a singer. We all have different responsibilities and giftings and callings. But God wants us to succeed and be successful in what he has given us and the responsibility he has given us. Hallelujah. You've heard me say this, and I'll say it again. I don't believe God's going to judge us by how big the job is. Let me say it this way. I don't believe he's going to judge us by how big the assignment is. I believe he's going to judge us by our faithfulness. You know what? If all a person could ever do for the Lord is sweep the floor of the church, if all they could ever do for God was clean the commodes, clean the bathroom, I'm here to tell you, I believe they'll get a great reward, just like someone that was able to do something bigger. Maybe was more out front. It's our faithfulness to God. Notice where it says, well done, thou good and
faithful.
Thou good and what?
Faithful.
Folks, faithfulness is very, very important. Amen. All right, I gotta move on here. All right, I'm still in Joshua chapter 8. All right, chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What was he telling him? When you meditate on the law day and night, in other words, when you have the word of God in your heart, when you are feeding on the word of God, guess what? You are feeding on the wisdom of God. Folks, you can let me know if this has ever happened to you, but I have been studying the Word of God, just reading the Word of God during my study time, and it's just almost like some of the words just, it may be an entire verse, just jump up off the page, and you know that God is specifically speaking to you through that verse. Am I the only one? If it's happened to you, raise your hand. In other words, that verse had been there and you'd read it so many times, but this particular time, God wanted to communicate something to you through that verse or verses that you were reading at that time. See, God will speak to you through His Word. Just like He'll speak to you, your spirit. But He also speak to you through His Word. I've had God speak to me many, many times through His, by way of His Word. And I knew that He was telling me something specific because of the Word that I was reading. Let me tell you something. God was telling Joshua, you stay in the law, or we'd say today, stay in the Word of God, and you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Amen? Praise God. And so Solomon was asking God for wisdom and revelation, and that's how we get wisdom, from the Word of God. Amen? And of course, spending time with God as well. All right, I got to move right along. Let me finish. Go back to Solomon chapter, 1 Kings chapter 3. Let me finish reading this. Praise God. Hallelujah. So verse 10 says, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself or asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart. Say, Lord, give me a wise and understanding heart.
Lord, give me a wise and understanding heart.
So that there has not been anyone like you before you, or shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked. How many of you know God adds on?
Amen.
Both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. Now listen, this verse 14 is the last one I'm going to read, but listen what God says to him. So if, you see that? So if you walk in my ways, in other words, walk in my word, obey my word. If you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So here's my summation. Doesn't matter where you come from. Don't matter how you got here. If you will walk with God, if you will seek His wisdom and His understanding, if you walk by His word, walk in His ways, God will bless your life. He'll lengthen your days. He'll meet your needs. He'll make you victorious in life. Bless the name of the Lord. I'm not saying you won't have any challenges. I'd be lying to you. But what I am saying to you is if you're in God's plan for your life and seeking his wisdom, staying in his word, God has a way out of each and every one of them. Stop pitying yourself. Poor old me. Stand up and know and understand God loves me and I'm going to walk in his word. He promised me victory. And I'm going to walk in that victory. I'm going to live in that victory. The world may hate me. They may talk about me. But that's okay. As long as I'm in God's plan, I'm in the right place. Hallelujah. There's much more I could say about that, but I'm going to bring it to a close, you know. But it concerns me, folks, when I see especially God's people with their heads down, thinking, poor little me, what am I going to do? I tell you what you do. You grab your Bible and you get in your prayer closet or wherever it is you pray and wherever it is you can spend time with God and get with God. Get in his word. And make a commitment that, Lord, I'm going to walk in your ways. And I touched on that Sunday, and I may touch on it again Sunday coming, because the issue is too many times we don't want to forsake our ways and take on his way. Y'all listening to me? See, that's where the devil has tripped many of us up, is because, you know, we know what the Bible says, But there's some things that we don't want to forsake. We don't want to give up. There's some things we're doing. You know, that there's some people we're in fellowship with that we need to break that cord, sever that cord, because they ain't helping you. Well, the Bible does say there was silence in heaven for the space of 30 minutes. Glory to God. But that's okay. You can have a Selah moment. But it's the truth. God's calling his people back to him. Oh, he did say he's a jealous God, didn't he? Amen. I mean, you don't want your kids loving their friends' parents more than they love you, do you? Well, mama, daddy, Miss Joan Doe over there let me have all the candy and cookies I want. You won't do it. So I'm going to spend most of my time over at her house. Now you wouldn't like that, and God don't either. He did say, I'm a jealous God. I want my children to love me. Praise God. I hope this blessed you tonight. Amen. Hope I didn't wander off too far with you. Father, we thank you tonight for your word that will never, ever return to you void.